Jesus, who has been taken from you, is now in heaven and will come back in the same way that you have seen him go to heaven. Please be seated. So Jesus is on Mount of Olives, and he's just finished breaking bread with his disciples, and he's announced to them that they soon will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit has come upon them, they will be given power to be witnesses for him, not only in Jerusalem, not only throughout Judea, but in all of Samaria, but to the very ends of the earth. And then when he had spoken these words, he was lifted up before them into the heavens until a cloud lifted him and hid him from their sight. Wow, what a thing to witness. And they didn't understand what they were witnessing, so I can imagine all of them were looking up in the sky, mouths wide open, saying, "What is this? This is really different. We don't know what to do with this sight either." The ones that know how to appreciate this and do it to the fullness of their liturgy are the Orthodox people. For some reason, they've taken the Ascension feast day and made it their own by saying that Christ is accomplished. The Paschal candle is a symbol that we use in the West. And when we see Christ ascending, we put the candle out. And that's about as far as we go as being creative. But the Orthodox people know how to celebrate. And so they've been looking for not only the resurrection, but the ascension as well. That completes the Paschal mystery. And they see that as something that we must celebrate. How do we celebrate it? Well, you go back to work, just like the disciples were told by Jesus and the angels, I should say. What are you looking at? Why don't you start doing something about this gift that you've been given, Jesus Christ? So they did go back. They went back to Jerusalem, and on entering the city, Scripture tells us, they went upstairs to the room that they've been staying at. They really been hiding up there as well. And the writer of Acts tells us that all were joined constantly in prayer. That's not a bad start. Start it out with prayer and see where it leads you. Can you imagine the effect of the ascension on these disciples? Can you imagine the feelings of awe and adoration? They can't put it in words. It's too much for them. So, men of Galilee, why do you stand there looking into the sky? They have seen Christ ascend to the Father. They would no longer ask, "Who's in charge?" because they knew that Christ was one who sat at the right hand of God. And even more significantly, they knew that they were connected to him. There's a little humorous story that came out of Hollywood, I think, many years ago, but I caught onto it not too long ago, about a famous movie star who checked into the hospital, maybe a Gregory Peck or someone like that. One particularly attractive nurse was at his side nearly every time he moved. When he finally indicated that he would like to be alone for a while, she said, "Okay, sir, now if you want anything at all, you need only to pull this cord." And the movie star looked at her and gave his irresistible smile and said, "Thank you, my dear, but what is that cord attached to?" And she smiled back at him and said, "Me!" He wasn't going to give up. The disciples knew that Christ was ascended to be with the Father, but they also knew that they were connected to him, and whatever that meant. They gave him a great sense of confidence and boldness that would be on display right after Pentecost, during Pentecost, and afterwards. Even though they did not know what the future held, they knew who held the future. It is said that the wife of Albert Einstein was once asked if she understood her husband's theory of relativity. And her response was, "No, but I know my husband, and I know he can be trusted." The disciples knew that Christ was with the Father and that Christ could be trusted. They believed that he was in charge and that made all the differences. They weren't afraid of death anymore. And I'm so thankful that I've never been asked to be in charge. When I look over my life and see the times that I acted out what I thought was a pretty good answer to some good judgment, yet that little later on, I found out it was a very stupid choice. I am glad God is in charge and not me. And I humbly accept that. Another story I like is about a young woman who went away to college, and we've all heard this type. Mom, would you mind being in charge of my plants while I'm gone? And mom said, why, sure, I'll take care of them. Water them, don't water, some water a lot. And she said, also the goldfish, mom, would you mind being in charge of that? She said, no problem, make sure I keep water in that tank. Well, the daughter called and said, mom, how are things going? And she said, well, they're not going too good. All your plants are dead. And how about the fish? Well, the fish, you know, I had to clean the tank, and they died in the process of cleaning. And then the daughter said with a sort of fearful voice, she said, and mom, how's dad doing? And she hoped that he was okay, but mom just joyfully laughed at her question. I'm glad I'm not in charge. I'm glad I'm not in charge of the universe, and you're not in charge either. I am glad that God has survived. God has ascended, and he's in charge. The disciples gazed up in the heavens with a mixture of awe and adoration. That's about all you can say. But the second thing is we need to see, here was where they joined, it helped them join in one company, one community. This was a minor miracle in itself because these sometimes contemptuous men were at each other's throats, begging for this and begging for that, and trying to, behind our Lord's sight, of course, fight for who was going to be first. After the ascension, they had a new appreciation for each other. They had a great love, Scripture tells us, for one another, and it was contagious. The early Christian community was known by their love for one another. There was a bond that was connected, and the disciples knew that was the ascension of Christ that did it. There was now a stronger bond than ever before, and it was the beginning of something we now call the body of Christ, the church. They were joined together in communion, in company. Every church would be a better church if its members could be joined together in one company. And there was one more thing that characterized the disciples following the ascension. And this one is exciting because it was the spirit of anticipation. They looked at the future in a different way. The two men dressed in white said to them, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand there just looking at the sky? Do something." They were still trying to process what had happened. However, in the account of the ascension, in the very last verse of Luke's gospel, we read that after Jesus departed from them, the disciples returned to Jerusalem with great joy. You're joyful about something, you're going to do it. And so they had tremendous joy, and it was a joy of anticipation. A traveling salesman stopped to visit a church one time, and for the first time in this strange community, he was emotionally kind. He was an emotional kind of fella, and he got carried away during the service, and every once in a while during the sermon time, he would let out an amen. Wow. Several people turned around and looked at him rather weirdly and sourly. He hung his head as if to say, "I'm sorry." And the lady next to him whispered to him, "We just don't do that in our church." And when the hymns were sung, this guy forgot himself again and sang more loudly than the rest of the entire congregation sang. Again, he could feel people looking at him with disapproval. After the service, nobody greeted him with much enthusiasm. No one expressed their pleasure that he was there. In fact, they all stood around with what he thought was a pained look on their faces. Finally, he came to one brother, who he looked more accessible than the rest of them, and he said to him, "I'm sorry, sir, but this is not a very warm community. What is it that you folks believe in?" And the young man replied grimly, "Oh, we believe simply doing our duty and bearing our crosses until Christ comes again." And the salesman looked at the man's sour face and said, "Friend, let me tell you something. If Christ ever visited this church, he isn't coming back." That salesman was a little unkind. Nevertheless, there ought to be more joy in our church than anything else on earth. God has ascended. God has gone up, and he is in charge. We are not forsaken, and one day Christ will return. I know that's a little hard to believe, but Christ said it, and we've got to believe it. The ascension of Christ was an occasion for awe and adoration. It was a time of drawing together as one company. It was a time of great anticipation. And how do you deal with that? The little prince in the children's book had a close encounter with the fox, a friend of fox. And on one occasion, they were trying to set a time for their next visit. It's very important for the fox to know the time of that meeting. They finally agreed to meet at 4:00. The little prince cannot understand why it's so important for the fox to know that exact time. Finally, the fox replies, "Oh, if I have to tell you, you're going to come at 4:00, then I'm going to begin to be happy at 3:00. It's time to start for us to begin to be happy too. We have a friend who has gone up and sits now at the right hand of the Father. God has ascended, and all that means, we have to be creative, folks, respond, and do something about it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.